Blog Talk Radio.
First thing in the morning. If you're familiar with that song, you need no introduction. If you're not, you may want to know. That was Caught in a Mosh by legendary New York City metal band Anthrax. Awesome stuff. Really good stuff. Brings me back to my childhood. Anyway, that's cool. Welcome into Assignment Football. It is episode 17, week 11 of the National Football League season. Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
Well, I'm awake now.
That's good. I saw you.
Anthrax will do that to you.
For sure. For sure. Great band. Awesome guitar player. Scott Ian is one of the great guitar players. One of the great personalities in music. Guy's incredible. So that's awesome. That is so awesome. All right. So here we are, week 11. We got a lot of stuff to go over. But before we start going over that, I want to make sure to get our good friend Matt Cavendo's plug in here because he's awesome. So if you're looking for professional financial advice regarding retirement planning, investments, and life insurance, contact Matt Cavendo and receive a complimentary planning analysis. Call Matt today at 315-671-1864, and he will hook you up for your financial future. I know Mike recently took advantage of Matt's services, and I'm certain he's quite happy that he did so.
Yeah, we had a funny conversation out at dinner the other night. I had sold somebody in my family a car, and they posted, a picture of the car. And thank you so much for helping me, you know, with the car purchase. And Matt's like, what the heck? I help people with their financial planning futures, and nobody ever says thank you to me on Facebook. So I type in, thanks a lot, Matt, for helping me with my financial planning future.
When you think about it, it's funny. No one ever does that. It's like, thanks, Matt, for making sure I don't die alone in a cardboard box on the street.
That's it. But it's like, you made my day with my new Corolla.
Right. Awesome job. That'll last you for 3 years. Okay. If you'd like to join the art conversation, of course, you can always call in. The number to call is area code 347-637-2812. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to take your questions. We've had some good callers over the course of the 17 weeks this show has been on the air. Can you believe that? I'm sure you can't. But here we are. They let us continue once again this week. So we're going to have a jam-packed show for you. We've got a lot of things going on. But the first thing we're going to talk about is there was a football game this past Thursday night. Another one, the Color Rush. I know. It's okay. The Tennessee Titans visited the Jacksonville Jaguars in a key AFC South matchup.
It sort of was a key AFC South matchup.
Yeah.
You know, between what, the 3-6 at the time Jags and the 2-7 Titans? And that was a battle to be really close to first place.
Yeah. And what's the thing? The Jaguars, especially, the Titans not so much, but the Jaguars especially, they're still alive. They could win the division.
For what it's worth, so if you didn't know anything about names and you didn't have any preconceived notions going into the season, Jacksonville looks better than Indy. Looks better than Indy.
For sure. Like, and this is, I had this conversation with someone, because I, if you don't know, if you're listening, you don't know, I live in Hawaii. And of course, Marcus Mariota is a big deal out here, and they all want to know, how's Marcus doing? How's he going to do? How's it going to be this week for the Titans? And so I had one of the guys at work, he knows football, and he has a, for entertainment purposes only, he likes to place friendly wagers on football games. So he told me that he had taken the Titans +3. And he said, what do you think of that? And I'm like, well, I think the Jaguars will win, but the reason is not because I think that Marcus Mariota is bad. It's just I think that the Jaguars have all more talent than the Titans do. The Titans don't have a lot around him, but I'll tell you this, watching the game, and it wasn't a good football game. It wasn't a lot of really good play, but I think Marcus Mariota may have been the best player on the field on Thursday. It's just he didn't have a lot of help. It's him and Delanie Walker against the world over there at this point. Yeah. You know, even Antonio Andrews is a little bit of a find for him, but he hasn't been that great. You know, he's a decent young running back. But when you look over on the Jags side of the ball, you've got, you know, Blake Bortles, who's a good quarterback. Then you got T.J. Yeldon, Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Julius Thomas, Marquise Lee. You know, you got a couple offensive linemen. They still need to work on that, but it's not horrible. And then on the other side of the ball, they got, you know, Cyprian and a couple other nice players. Paul Posluszny plays for them still. You know, they've got some.
They've got a nice linebacking core, actually.
They really do. Yeah.
Tevin Smith's pretty good. I've enjoyed watching the young talent on Jacksonville. The game itself was a little lackluster, but watching the individual plays and sort of what Jacksonville brings to the table is nice. And I think going forward, they have a high ceiling.
Jacksonville and Oakland are similar in that way. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Returning to
what you said about your friend, I don't pay a lot of attention to lines, and I'm not a guy who bets on sports. If you had told me that was a 3-point line, though, my general knowledge of betting lines is that home field advantage gives you 3 in the NFL. I would have said that Jacksonville is a better team than Tennessee, so they should be more than a 3-point favorite at home. I would have taken Jacksonville.
They may have docked them a few points just knowing that those were the uniforms they're going to wear, though.
Oh, God, they were atrocious. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good. Again, I'm not huge on the monochrome uniform. Same color pants as shirt. Like the week before, you didn't get a chance to talk about this, but the week before there was the Christmas game or the green red colorblind game, which was good. So apparently a lot of people just saw gray. But this week the Titans uniforms actually weren't horrible, but they look pretty similar to what they normally wear. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, their color scheme has been, and it's funny because if you're into uniforms, and I kind of am, there's a guy on ESPN who writes a blog. It's called UniWatch, and his name's Paul Lucas, and he basically just covers uniforms. And he wrote an article this week, basically prompted by these uniforms the Jaguars wear, and said, what happened? The Jaguars used to have really good uniforms. He's like, I had them at one point ranked in my top 5 of uniforms in the NFL, and now they're just the worst.
Well, they've got those black unis that are sharp. The black and teal combo is nice with little gold highlights. Like, they actually do have nice color combinations. But they went bad on Thursday.
And I'm not going to say this for nothing. They have the worst helmets in football. College, pro, I don't care who you're talking. Those are the stupidest helmets I've ever seen. Make up your mind. Okay, so we'll get off of that now. A couple other things to go over. Key injuries, and I've been trying to figure it out. Obviously, a few things going on. How about this? Colin Kaepernick placed on the IR this week.
Yeah, he told the coaching staff that he wanted to have surgery on his non-throwing shoulder, and so they placed him on IR for the rest of the season.
Now, the thing is, they're shopping him, though. Like, they're looking
to
trade him.
Fine. How often is it that a quarterback plays really bad, and then the next week it's like, he had a torn plantar fascia to, you know, pick a specific case. It's always like Aaron Rodgers, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers has health problems. No, you know, Aaron Rodgers just laced a couple bad games together, you know? Everybody in the NFL at this point in the season is banged up. So to blame poor play on injury at this point is a little disingenuous, in my opinion.
Kaepernick, I know what you're talking about, in particular the Peyton Manning thing, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, he's zombie Peyton Manning. Don't blame it on a plantar fascia. He's 39 years old. His body looks like a 49-year-old man out there. And as I've said in the past, his brain's the only thing keeping him in the NFL.
Absolutely. But, yeah, with Colin Kaepernick, they are looking to trade him if they can. I don't know what kind of market you're going to get from. What are you getting from, a sixth-round pick?
Well, yeah, that's probably legit, a late-round pick. But for what it's worth, a team could score with Kaepernick because he didn't all of a sudden forget how to play football. And there was a couple seasons there where Kaepernick looked like an up-and-coming starting quarterback in the league for years to come. And he's got a lot of that Jameis Winston, Cam Newton in him, where he's fast and he's big and he's strong and he's got a big arm. And something tells me that if he can find a quarterback coach that can kind of bring the right things out of him, that Kaepernick can still have a really bright future. So
they need to fix his throwing motion. He has a nice arm, but his throwing motion is pretty bad. Look, I watched the tape of it. It's not like Cam Newton isn't like a really accurate quarterback, but his throwing motion looks good, and whatever it is, he kind of sails some things. Jameis Winston has a really nice throwing motion. He's really good, fundamentally sound. This kid's got a future in the NFL, a big future, I think. He might be the – if you're going to talk about those three guys, Winston might be the best quarterback of the three of them, like down the road, a couple more years from now. He might be. Because he's really good. He is really good.
You're undervaluing Cam Newton.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I think Cam Newton kind of is what he is. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who completes 67% of his passes. He's, it's kind of funny. Here's the thing. To stay with Colin Kaepernick, okay? A couple weeks ago, right when Kaepernick got benched, they kind of just threw up some stats. They threw up Colin Kaepernick stats this season, and they put him against Cam Newton stats this season. And they're virtually identical. One guy got benched. One guy's being talked about as the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
So there it is. I mean, the same
for
kind
what
of
it's
running
worth, Cam Newton's bigger than your linebackers, and he can run, and he's just a weapon in other ways that it doesn't matter. On third down, he's always a threat to run for a first down.
Right.
If you're within 5 yards of the goal line, he's going to run somebody over and get a touchdown. He's just got other things, other intangibles, and he seems like he's a leader, going back even to his college days. He just seems like he has a way of getting the guys around him to believe that he can carry them, and he's done it over and over, and this year they look really good.
Right, and he's one of those guys who's Cam is one of those guys who is – he's different. He's not like other quarterbacks, but – he can get it done in his way, and actually he can be really effective in his way, and he can win games like that. He's going to need a defense, but everybody needs a defense. Unless you're that male model in Boston, what's his name?
Oh, there's a guy out
there. The Brady guy? Okay, unless you're that guy. And I think, to a point, he even still needs some sort of defense. If you don't have a defense in the NFL, you're not going to be very good. But Newton kind of needs a defense. But he doesn't really rely on having great receivers around him because the running game's so good with him involved in it. So he can make things happen unconventionally. And again, it's not like Michael Vick, 5'11", 195 pounds running out there. This guy is a legitimate physical force when he has the football. Good luck tackling him if you're a corner. You know, have fun. That's going to be a fun time for you.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder there a little bit with the comments about the receivers. I would put a grain of salt with Newton's stats in that if his completion percentage isn't great, look, he's throwing to Greg Olsen and nobody. Like, his completion percentage isn't going to be that good. He doesn't have a single guy that can go out there and go attack footballs and make spectacular catches and help him.
But at the same time, a lot of his problems is he sails footballs. He goes over guys' heads. And that's why they go out and that's why they've gone out and they've drafted 6'5" receivers in consecutive drafts, because they know he throws the ball high, so I need tall targets. Philly Brown ain't getting it done. They got 6'5", you know. So they need the bigger guys. Funchess is going to get the start this week if Philly Brown can't go. And, you know, the only reason they drafted Funchess in the first place is because he's 6'5".
Right.
So there you go. And because he just, for whatever reason, the ball comes out high from Cam Newton and it will kind of sail on him sometimes. So they figure, you know, I can't get Manute Bol, so we'll go get this Devin Funchess kid.
So you mentioned briefly kind of in that diatribe, New England and Brady having a good defense. I'll tell you what Brady has that is so overlooked. New England consistently has the best special teams in the league. And when you talk about how good a football team is, you talk about the quarterback and you talk about the defense and you talk about these stats, the you know, rush yards against and the passing yards for and points against and all these other stats, and the special teams is consistently forgotten. And let me tell you, when they lined up for Steven Gostkowski to kick a 54-yard field goal to win a game, I'm going, that's going in.
Absolutely.
You've got a guy that doesn't miss field goals. You've got Danny Amendola almost scores a touchdown if he doesn't get tackled by his own guy. When they need him to get them field position, he brings it to the opposite 10-yard line. And, you know, they just consistently have a quality punt return guy, a quality kick return guy, good punt coverage, good kick coverage. All of these things go well. Their kicking game's solid. They, you know, defend these little trick plays and oddball things that other teams try to do with their special teams. Onside kicks, all of the things that contribute to winning games in small ways, New England does spectacularly.
Absolutely true. And, you know, I felt the same way when Gostkowski lined up for the kick, because this guy just never misses. And the thing about special teams is if you've got a good offense, they can make your offense great because they can set you up with great field position on a return. If you've got a good defense, they can make your good defense great because you're defending against short fields all the time because you've got your punters backing those guys up, or you're constantly kicking the ball out of the end zone for a touchback and everybody's got to go 80 yards every time. So that's a big deal. Special teams, as you said, majorly overlooked, but if you've got a really – like, look at Seattle the year they won the Super Bowl. Yes, their defense was great. Yes, their offense was sufficiently good. Like, their running game was really, really good. But their special teams – they might have had the number one ranked special teams unit in the league that year. And, you know, special teams will win games blocking punts, like you said, onside kicks. I mean, an onside kick won the Super Bowl for the Saints. I mean, coming out of halftime, pulling that, you know, surprise onside kick, that ended the night for the Colts. It was over. So special teams is huge, and that's where New England a lot of times sets themselves apart. They value their special teams aces, their guys on the coverage teams and return teams who are really, really good. They use their starting running backs or their starting receivers to return punts and kicks in Edelman and Amendola. Matt Slater is a valued individual on that team.
Yeah,
and he's
really good.
He does nothing other than cover kicks, really. I mean, he plays a little bit of corner here and there. Like, he'll throw him out there to play some defensive back in a Hail Mary situation.
A dime.
Put him on the field. Right. They'll put him on the field as a receiver from once in a while, but that guy's only job in this league is to go down and tackle the kick returner, and he is probably the best guy at it in the league easily. Matt Slater, everybody else.
So Belichick is seen as this kind of bellicose, you know. They ask him questions. He gives a one-word grunt as an answer. But every once in a while, you'll catch him in a press conference give like this five-minute answer to a question that he considers to be a great question or somehow important. And I listened to him talk about the depth chart of the team and how the whole 53-man roster is relevant, and they have a depth chart for every position, even on kickoffs and all the special teams units, and how when one guy gets hurt, how it shifts that whole depth chart around and the importance of sort of knowing your role within that depth chart. And it was just like, man, every team should be thinking along the lines the same way Belichick does as far as that goes. And it just gives them an advantage when he's planned ahead in ways he's playing chess and you're playing checkers. And it's pretty spectacular to watch. Now, back to Gostkowski real quick. Two things about him that are spectacular. Best all-time percentage on 50-yard field goals. He's made 81% of his 50-plus yard field goals in his career. And if you watch, he kicks every kickoff out of the back of the end zone. Every one.
Yes. Yes. He's not kicking in a dome. He's not kicking. Do they have turf? Or it's not turf up there. It's grass.
It's that field turf, I think.
Oh, okay. So it is a field turf. But still, he's not kicking in a dome. New England doesn't have particularly nice weather once you get to about October 12th.
Right.
You know, it gets pretty nasty in the Foxborough area. He's kicking in snow games. He's kicking in wind games. He's kicking in rain. And he's just nailing everything. 81% from 50 yards and better is ridiculously accurate. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, they'll throw up stats at somebody. Oh, he's made 4 of 9. Pretty good. Yeah, 4 of 9 would be pretty good from 57 yards. Gostkowski's probably, you know, 5 of 6 from 57 yards in his career. You know,
on average.
If they lined him up to do a 63-yard field goal or a 64-yard field goal, I'm like, yeah, that's probably going. Probably going
to
go in.
That was an awesome football game. I didn't get to talk to you about it last show because it was the late Sunday game. And I was in Florida watching it, and I'm the only New England fan in this bar watching this game, and I'm just going nuts. It was such a great game. One
of
the most
Giants fans?
Regular season games. That was awesome. There's a bunch
of
Giants fans there.
I'm sure there were. Florida, if you're not familiar with Florida, it's just everybody in Florida moved there from New York. That's all.
Pretty much. Yep.
All right. Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about fantasy hot or not. It's getting a little harder right now. The crunch time's coming. You got to push for playoff position. I know, actually, despite my awful start, I've been kind of moving up the charts here. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, fantasy hot or not, around the corner right here on Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big Ten in 2015. Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughter-Zinsky brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend and college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Attention sports fans! FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
On the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. If you're familiar with that song, you are a music geek like me. That is a song from, got to be 15 years ago. A band called Refused. The song is called New Noise. If you know it, you know how aggressive it gets a minute after that. But it's a pretty great song. Mike, I encourage you to go to iTunes and purchase the song so that you can listen to it. I know that you would never do such a thing as pirate music. So go ahead.
I will purchase that from Pirate Bay and give it a shot.
Go see our good friends at Pirate Bay. No, we are
go
not.
Go see our friends at our sponsors, Pirate Bay, for all your free music needs.
We are not sponsored by Pirate Bay. I do not endorse Pirate Bay in any way. No, I got to make a phone call. So this is what I was thinking during the commercial break as I'm listening to Alan, right? Alan Slaughter-Zinsky. If you don't know, great friend of the program. The guy is the smartest guy in the world about football. You were in Florida. We should have hooked you up with Alan.
Is he from Jacksonville?
Yeah, he's from that area, yeah.
Yeah, I was like an hour south of there. Oh.
Right. We should have hooked you up with Alan. Damn it.
Next time, we will be back.
Slaughter-Zinsky is a ridiculously busy human. Like, he does way too much stuff. I don't understand how he does it. If you're unfamiliar, you got to listen to Alan's college football show on Thursday nights. It's really great. And the thing of it is, if you're unfamiliar with our show, you may not realize that we started out as a show that was both about the NFL and college football, but we stopped talking about college football the minute Alan Slaughter-Zinsky came on this show.
he knows more than us. I give up.
We have nothing to add to the conversation when Alan's on here. So he basically killed our college football segment. So thank you, Alan. And honestly, thank you, because we were awful at it. It was no good. We're way better at pro stuff. So all right, so here we go. It's fantasy crunch time. So here we go. We are brought to you by the FanUpNetwork.com. Go to FanUpNetwork.com today to sign up for the free FanUp Network app. Simply register at FanUpNetwork.com and follow the instructions for your platform, whether it be Android, iPhone, or Windows. And FanUp Network will help you dominate in all of your leagues. Keep track of all your fantasy teams in one place, see real-time player news, receive expert fantasy advice, and you can go to fanupnetwork.com and sign up today. And follow them on Twitter, FanUp Network. And, you know, they're not just fantasy football. We obviously focus on fantasy football, but it's fantasy golf, fantasy hockey, fantasy NASCAR, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball. Is there fantasy sumo? I'm sure there is.
Fantasy football is so perfect. All these other sports are so complicated to try to keep track of.
It's just so much. There's so many games.
Yeah.
There's just way too many games.
I know in football, everyone plays one game a week. I tried to do fantasy basketball years ago, and I'm like,
yeah.
So I actually have to pay attention to how many games this guy's going to play this week. This is no good.
Right. Like when I was young, I first started out in fantasy baseball. I'm a big baseball fan. I love baseball. And when I was younger and I didn't have a job or a career to speak of, I had all kinds of time to think about baseball and baseball stats and all the minutia that baseball is. And now they play six games a week, and it's just like, I cannot break
which
down.
Which is wins against replacement.
Right. Well, how does he fare against left-handed pitchers? Because he's facing three of them this week. I can't do it. So, and I love fantasy baseball. It's a lot of fun. It's just a lot of work. Fantasy football is just so much easier, except for the fact that I'm like, I don't know, 3-6 and or 4-6 in a bunch of leagues. So it's not that easy.
It's easy for everybody else too, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it is. So here we go. We're going to do our fantasy hot or not. Mike, we're going to give you some guys who are going to help you try to get into the playoffs if you're just outside like I am in a couple leagues. There's a couple leagues where I started out, like one league, I was 0-5. Luckily enough, it's a 10-team league and the top six get in. I'm currently 8th in that league now because I've won 4 of my last 5 matchups to go to 4-6. Need a big win today. Alan Hearns did not help me out on Thursday night, so I'm hoping some of the guys that we're going to talk about today can help me out today. So, Mike, who is your first pick? Who's a player that you're looking for to help you get into the playoffs or better your playoff position today?
So, you know, I like to focus on people that might actually be available so that, you know, because, again, talking about starting
the
best players in the league, the Todd Gurley's and the Devonta Freeman's, you know, if you have them, you're starting them. So to start with the quarterback.
Mike has all those guys on his team.
Yeah. The worst pass defense that's playing this week is Oakland. The Giants are on bye. Oakland's the second worst pass defense in the league. They're giving up almost 300 yards a game through the air. And Matt Stafford gets them this week. So if you're looking for somebody that's probably not owned that may have a big game, Matt Stafford certainly is there. And another guy I really like who might be a name that you're not familiar with, St. Louis is going a different direction this week, and they're going to give Case Keenum a try. Case Keenum threw for a ton of yards in college, and that's really the last I remember him. He's gotten spot duty in the NFL, but this is a guy that in college regularly threw for 350, 400 yards every week. So he's got the arm, and he's got the ability to throw, you know, 50 times a game if he needs to.
Yes.
And
he broke
he
a bunch of records in college.
Yeah,
and Baltimore's bad. And sorry, Alan, Baltimore's bad.
Yeah, 271 yards a game. They're sixth worst in the league against the pass. So if you can target that matchup, that's a nice one to go for. And another guy in the quarterback position who had a really good week against New England earlier in the year, at least fantasy-wise, was Tyrod Taylor. Taylor's been a pretty good fantasy quarterback when he's been in there. And you may imagine in New England, he gets a lot of opportunity to throw the ball. They may get behind early. You know, if things sort of go as expected, you're going to see about three quarters of Tyrod Taylor throwing the ball. So I like all of those picks as people you might pick up off of waivers and do well with.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're able to look at a guy like Golden Tate to piggyback off your Matt Stafford, you should go out and take a look at him. He's owned in a lot of leagues, but it might be available in your league because he's really kind of a wide receiver too. But today might be a big day for him because I'm sure they're going to concentrate on Calvin Johnson for some unknown reason because Calvin Johnson just, I don't know who he is anymore. So there's that. The guys that I'm looking at, from quarterback in particular, I like Matt Hasselbeck. He looked good in his two starts earlier. He's going to be a starter for a couple weeks now. You know, it's not like they don't have wide receivers there. He can dump the ball down to Frank Gore. They've looked a little better recently than they did early in the year. I still don't love the Colts, but I think Hasselbeck could be a guy who, if you're desperate for a quarterback, this is a guy you can look at and say, okay, he's established. I know what he is. Or if you're really desperate for a quarterback and you can't find Matt Hasselbeck, there's this guy out in Denver named Brock Osweiler, who's been itching to get on the field for such a long time. He actually did okay last week. The matchup might not be awesome this week, but you don't know. He is a guy who has weapons around him and can possibly find himself, a way to have a good game this week at least and help you get into the playoffs. To speak about Case Keenum, I believe he broke a ton of records in college. I think he held like the touchdown record, the yardage record, played for University of Houston. So basically, when you come to Houston, when you go to University of Houston, like when you're done here, we're going to hand you all these records when you're done.
Well, he gets some subpar competition. Houston was 10-0 going into yesterday, ended up losing at UConn 20-17. So Houston gets to kind of beat up on the dregs a little bit, and they usually have a gaudy record, but you know, they're low ranked with an undefeated record because they haven't played anybody. They're that type of team. Right. But Keenum did blow it up down there.
He's got a big arm. So that could be a really good play. I really like that coming out of you, Mike. I like that play. Go ahead.
Okay, so piggybacking off of your call with Hasselbeck, maybe kind of an unknown here, but Hasselbeck's favorite target when he quarterbacked for two games earlier this season was Colby Fleener, the tight end. So if you need a tight end, here's a guy that in two games with Hasselbeck at the quarterback had 15 targets. So the pickings for tight ends can be kind of slim this time of year, because if you don't have one of those top 8 or 10 guys, everybody else is kind of on a level playing field. Two guys I like out of that level playing field are Fleener and Eric Ebron from Detroit, going back to, thinking Stafford's going to have a good game. For a while here, if you could have started the tight end against Oakland every week, you would have had by far the best tight end in the league. Oakland's tight end defense is the worst in the league, supposedly. So, you know, how you rate tight end defense, I don't know specifically, but I know they're worst against it. So there you go. Quarterbacks I would avoid would be, unfortunately, I think you might be wearing the jersey.
Oh, possible. I am.
Yeah.
I'm totally wearing the jersey.
I don't know if I would touch Tony Romo this week. They're on the road. First week back, he's been gone for 2 months. I like Romo's talent as much as anybody, and I like Romo as a quarterback as much as anybody. But that team, their mindset has got to be bad at coming on a 7-game losing streak, and I don't know if he can get it done. I think if he gets hit once, you could see a short day for Tony Romo too. That would be my biggest concern.
Yeah, well, the talk out of the locker room is that they are – the team spirits have been lifted to the nth degree with the return of Tony Romo. They're all really excited to have him back. So, I mean, why wouldn't you be, to be honest with you? Why would you not be excited to have him back? But, I've got Romo in a couple of leagues. I'm kind of forced to play him in a couple of leagues. I have one league where I have this other guy from – again, that guy from Boston, whatever his name was. I have that guy. So I'm not playing him in that league. But I do have a couple leagues where I'm kind of forced to play him, and I'm a little bit apprehensive to the fact that maybe he could be a little bit rusty or stuff like that. But Romo's a bit of a magician too, so he's the kind of guy who could come out there and just have this ridiculous, stupid game in his first game back. So there's that. To speak about tight ends again, I like – you talked about Eric Ebron. I like the guy on the other side of the ball for Oakland going forward. I think not just the rest of this season. I think he could be a really good tight end. Coming up next year, it's a rookie, Clive Walford. Carr's actually started, he hasn't got a lot of yards, tons of targets, but he tends to get a touchdown a week over the last 3 or 4 games. And so now he's a guy who's scoring like 8 or 9 points a game because he gets 35 yards and a touchdown, 17 yards and a touchdown. So this is a guy who you might want to look at if you're, again, desperate for a tight end, which if, at this point in the season, you might be. Take a look at Clive Walford, young guy, rookie guy for Oakland. Another reason why Oakland is a team on the upswing is that's because he just adds a little bit more to their skill position, guys. And with all the attention that goes to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, those guys, Clive Walford gets to just kind of waltz in underneath and get a nice touchdown once in a while.
So just to kind of segue real quick, we talked earlier about how we both like kind of the future of Oakland and Jacksonville, and part of what I like so much about both those teams' future is they can literally go into next year's draft and draft all defensive players. Their offenses are both stacked. They don't need receivers. They don't need running backs. They don't need a quarterback. They've got serviceable tight ends. You can go plug in your needs. They have enough talent now on the roster that it's not just, wow, we just have to take the best available player because our team's awful. They can go target linebackers, target defensive tackles, get
offensive
what they need
linemen,
to hold.
Defensive linemen, right, the lines. Yep. They can work on the lines, which is where you win football games. Let me go get a left guard. Let me go get a D tackle. Let me, you know, pick the best available. This is the best thing that you can do. You can sit on your board, and you can trust your board, and you can pick the best available player when it's your turn to pick. And that's it. It's like, okay, so I need a running back. No, I don't need anything. You know what I need? I need the best guy on this board right now. Who is it?
Tim.
Oh, it's an outside linebacker? Get him. It's a D tackle? Get him. That's my guy. So, and that's a good position to be in. That's a position where New England is consistently in that position because they, you know, Belichick's really good at drafting. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he uses his draft picks as a commodity as opposed to, like, really, it's not a player. It's a chess piece. It's like, okay, I'm not in love right now, so I'm going to trade this down and get more value and get two picks, and then I'm going to turn those two picks into four picks. Then I'm going to pick some guy you never heard of, and you're going to go, oh, my God, that guy's awesome. I should have picked him. You know?
He's such a great talent evaluator, and that's where it's all at. But, yes, that's where Jacksonville and Oakland are both sitting right now. When they're in the draft next spring, they can just sit there and say, that's the best guy, I'm taking him. Doesn't matter what position he plays. So that's
a couple running backs are probably, in the fantasy thing, the hardest position to fill when you're in need is running back. Because, let's face it, most teams don't even have one good one when it comes to fantasy, let alone two or three like they do with receivers. So a couple of guys who you may be able to kind of sneak in and get some use out of. James White for New England was their third string, even maybe fourth string running back going back a couple weeks. He seems to have leapfrogged Brandon Bolden to be the guy behind LeGarrette Blount. And if you go back to the first Buffalo game, LeGarrette Blount didn't do anything, and Deion Lewis was the guy. And so if James White takes on the Deion Lewis role, I want to say Deion Lewis had something like 40 yards rushing, 90 yards receiving. I might have it backwards against Buffalo last time. It probably was 90 yards receiving because I think Brady threw for like 500 yards in that game. So if you get James White in that role, especially if you're PPR and you get him to catch 6, 7, 8 balls out of the backfield, LeGarrette does not catch balls out of the backfield at all. So James White's a great pick, especially in PPR against that Buffalo defense. And also a guy who is coming back off an injury, who's a guy with at least a track record of some quality, is Belial Powell for the Jets. Chris Ivory's had a heavy workload all year. So if they can fit in Belial Powell, I think he's a guy that gets, you know, 12 to 15 touches today. And he's been known to do something with it when he does get a chance. So I like both those guys as a sort of, you know, dude who may actually be available and may be worthy of a start if you're a little thin at the running back.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Belial?
I can never figure out how to pronounce that guy's name. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's good enough. It's
he can call the
Belial
show and let
Belial.
Us know. If we're Please. Butchering his name, he's welcome to call in.
Yeah, call me. We're good.
I'm sure he's listening.
Yeah, so another guy from the New England game, just to really quickly say, he's only owned, because I looked this up and I picked him up, but on NFL.com fantasy leagues, he's only owned in 44.5% of leagues. Okay, so that's a little bit low for him. But Danny Amendola, especially now that that you're going to have Edelman out, is going to be probably, as far as the wide receivers go, the number one target for Tom Brady. I mean, this is going to be the guy that he's looking for now. I mean, you worry a little bit about his injury history, but he hasn't had a lot of injury problems since he's been in New England, since that first season. So, I mean, he had a couple there. But I picked up Danny Amendola. I think if you were lucky enough to get him. And again, if you're in an NFL.com league, I would go look for him because he's out there, man. He is absolutely out there.
Patriots fan, I remember that Amendola was actually the guy that they expected to take Wes Welker's spot as that high-volume slot receiver. And I think what happened over time is you just found that Edelman's just a tougher guy. And he's the guy you want doing those short crossing routes over the middle because he takes a hit and bounces back up. And as you say, Amendola does have some injury history, but now they're forced into it. Like, Amendola's the guy. And that is the guy on New England's offense that gets all the targets, is that short crossing route receiver. Wes Welker used to lead the league in catches. Edelman was on his way this year. And if Amendola jumps into that, look, he's going to get targeted 12 times today.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just a matter of what he does with it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's it. He's got to catch the ball, but he's been really good with that. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if any of it has to do with that quarterback they have.
Yeah, he's reasonably accurate.
Reasonably. So, but that's just another huge reason to go look and see if you can get him. I was just shocked that he was available. At this point, and this morning, I just looked it up this morning, he's available in 55.5% of leagues on NFL.com. So that's a pretty big number for a guy who's a name, productive, and really has been just promoted to the starter role. So there's that.
Well, a couple of other receivers I like.
Yeah, go get him. Tell me.
A guy I really liked a few weeks ago, and he sort of fell off, was Stephon Diggs for Minnesota. And so in both leagues I'm in, I noticed that he got dropped this week. And I'm like, that was – you gave up on him pretty quick, young receiver. And Green Bay has not been good defensively. Minnesota has everything to gain from today's game. It's in Minnesota. I think Diggs has a big game today. And they're going to – the thing about Minnesota is, look, you either – you know, sell out to defend against Peterson or you lose to Peterson, as right. has been evidenced a couple times this year, where he ran for 200 yards and just destroys you. So if you don't put the 8 in the box, Peterson is going to beat you. So you're going to face that. And then I think Diggs finds some openings, and he's fast and he's agile, and I think he makes some plays today. You mentioned him earlier, Golden Tate, another guy who people were high on going into the season. Again, I've watched him get dropped, picked up, dropped in my leagues. And he's a guy who I think, again, against Oakland's atrocious pass defense, has a chance to have a big day today.
I agree 100%. And Minnesota, again, we've been banging this drum all year. And now here they are, first place, with a chance to kind of put some separation between themselves and Green Bay. And I love Stephon Diggs. I think this kid has a really bright future. I'm pretty excited. I have him in one of my lineups. It's actually a PPR league, so I'm really hopeful that he has a really great day today. So I'm with you. I like Stephon Diggs a lot today. All right, great segment, Mike. I think you kicked my butt on that one again, but that's okay. You kicked my butt in real life and fantasy anyway, so it's good. Here we go. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the upcoming holiday and what we're thankful for in the NFL. That's going to happen right after this on Assignment Football right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com as your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Hey, football fans, looking for an alternative to your boring NFL pregame show? Try the NFL Standard right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network. Every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames deliver the best in fantasy news, notes, and information from around the world of the National Football League. The guys will get you set for all of the big games in the day with their game previews, as well as injury updates and all of the news and notes from around the world of the National Football League. Once again, if you're looking for the best in NFL game day coverage, right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with Alan, John, and Brian on the NFL Standard.
Attention sports fans! FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Will it be the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the ACC, or the Big Ten in 2015? Which college football conference reigns supreme? Find out every Thursday night at 8 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network as Alan Slaughterzinski brings you the Thursday College Football Blitz. Each and every Thursday night, Alan delivers you all of the news and notes from around the world of college football, all of the rankings, the Heisman Watch, the updated standings, get you ready for the upcoming weekend in college football. Again, for the best coverage in college football this season, join Alan every Thursday night at 8 p.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the Thursday College Football Blitz.
Fan Up Network. Track your fantasy team, get player updates, and expert advice all in one place. Gain the edge. FanUpNetwork.com.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. All right. This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. Oh, I love you. Love to eat turkey, course it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should.
All right, everybody, we're back. Turkey. That, of course, is the great Adam Sandler and his song from many, many years ago, the Thanksgiving song. One of my favorite songs around this time of year. It's awesome. Not entirely appropriate for family situations, but it's good. Goes on to give a line where Tyson, I can't believe Tyson gave that girl VD. That's good. Listen, if you don't understand how funny Adam Sandler was as a songwriter, like, he wrote these awesome songs back in the day. They were so good. Remember when he was on Saturday Night Live? I don't know. You might not remember this. You're a little bit younger than me. He used to do this thing on the Weekend Update called Opera Man.
Yeah.
And
I remember.
It was so good. It was so good. All right. Anyway, so we'll go on from that. So right now is we're just a few days from Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is around at my house. It's my favorite holiday, probably. It's certainly in the top two. How's that? I know it's Crystal's favorite holiday. She loves Thanksgiving so much. And we're all very thankful for all the things that we have in life. But right now, Mike and I are going to tell you about what we're thankful for in the NFL this season. Mike, I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I'm going to surprise you by not starting where you think I'm going to start here.
Okay.
I've been playing fantasy football for a long time, since I was a teenager. And we used to have to use the newspaper to determine the scores in fantasy football. And if you've been playing fantasy football for a long time, you remember this as well. And there'd be stat corrections and everything else. And, you know, depending on your source, the scores didn't line up. And there wasn't fractional scoring and all the stuff we have today. So I am thankful for fantasy stat tracking, because I get to sit there and not worry about that stuff on a Monday morning. And I get to watch my fantasy league happen at the same time the games are happening, and it just adds this whole other level of intrigue into my day of football watching on a Sunday. So the first thing I'm thankful for is fantasy stat tracking.
Yes, I like that. And also, to piggyback on that, I'm thankful for the FanUp Network and the FanUp Network app. Go download the FanUp Network app today at fanupnetwork.com. But yes, I too am very thankful for that. It was a very tedious process to rummage through the old newspaper, fax in your lineup by whatever. I guess that it was, you had to get it in by Friday night or whatever, because there wasn't a lot of Thursday games, but very thankful for that. That's awesome. I am thankful. I don't know. I'm not thankful for the refs this season, but I'll tell you that. Here's what I'm thankful for, guys. And I'm only going to do one, and I'll let Mike go off on his last one last, so that's good. I am thankful that today in Miami, Florida, Antonio Romero Romo makes his return to the Dallas Cowboys. I am so thankful that I do not have to see another game of Brandon Weeden, who is now with the Houston Texans, by the way, or Matt Castle. God bless him. He was a lot better than Weeden, but he still didn't get any wins. Under center. Number 9 will run out of the tunnel. He will line up and take the snap on the first offensive play of the game for the Dallas Cowboys this week, and I am just so thankful for that. Life without Romo, for all you Cowboys. Here's the thing. A lot of people around the NFL, you've got a lot of Romo haters, Romo's this, Romo's that. There's a lot of people in Cowboys Nation over the years who have talked about how much we need to ditch Tony Romo. Well, guess what, guys? You just got a glimpse of it for 7 weeks. How'd you like it? It was fun, yeah? Life without Romo sucks. It sucks. Romo is the only reason this team is any good at all most of the time that they're on the field. I can literally point to you, and I did it in the offseason, I can literally point to you 10 games that without Tony Romo, they got no shot of winning, that they won. So thank God thankful very much. I'm very thankful for Tony Romo's return. Michael.
Well, I suppose this one's easy. This is like candy from a baby, low-hanging fruit. Deigned excellence of the New England Patriots for all these years. I mean, I started as a big-time football fan as a young teenager, and I still remember when I was a kid, the reason I started rooting for New England is I saw them in the newspaper. I was looking at the stats and the standings, and I saw New England, and I asked my father, New England, where's that? You know, that's not a state. Like, I'm a second grader or whatever at the time, and I know my states, and there's no state called New England. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's like six states in the Northeast. I was like, is New York one of them? He's like, nah. I'm like, awesome. They get six states. Like, that's the team I'm going to root for. So when I was a kid, they were terrible. And then Bledsoe came, and they got respectable. And so I've been and that's really the years where I kind of grew as a football fan and, you know, kind of really started to care about sports, was around Bledsoe's first or second year in the league. And they've really been a good team pretty much my whole football watching life. And I follow some bad teams in other sports. So the sustained excellence of the Patriots has been awesome. Of course, the Mets did make the World Series this year. So
they did.
I can't talk junk about them anymore. But, you know, Belichick and Brady, you know, whatever twist of fate had Brady be the 199th pick in the draft and, you know, Bledsoe gets a spleen injury or whatever it was and he Wally pips him. And yep. Just, you know, fortune has smiled upon the New England Patriots, and I've been able to watch it. And it's a team that every time they go into a game, I feel like they're going to win it. And as I was talking to you earlier, you know, something like they line up for a 54-yard field goal at the end of the game and you're just going, yeah, they're going to hit that. You know?
Yep.
And as a football fan, as a fan of that team, I'm thankful that every week they're there to root for. They're not a team where, you know, late in the season, there's no reason for me to watch football. Every year, they're relevant at the end of the season. And it just makes my football watching that much more enjoyable. So being a New England fan is something to be thankful for.
All right. So I lied. I said I was going to do one. I'll do another one. Kind of to piggyback off that, and I appreciate where you are right now with the Patriots, because I've been there with the Cowboys. Not for 15 years like the Patriots have done. I mean, this is a really long dominance of their division, and they've won multiple Super Bowls in that time. As a Dallas Cowboys fan, I am very thankful to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I am. This team is nothing if not exciting. It's always relevant, whether they're 12-4 or 4-12. You know, there's never a time when people aren't talking about what's going on in Dallas. So you're always relevant. It's always exciting. This team has a long, illustrious tradition. They've won 5 Super Bowls, 4 of them in my lifetime. The first one was won, caveat, 9 days before I was born. So, you know, I kind of missed that one by a week or so. And not just the Cowboys. I'm like the opposite of Mike. Mike's a Knicks, Mets, Patriots, of course, but fan. I'm Celtics. I'm Yankees. I'm, you know, Cowboys. Notre Dame.
Bandwagon.
So, you know,
fan.
Not at all. I know, but I've been a fan of them since I was 5 because they were good when I was 5. And I'm like, hey, I like these guys. They're good. And I just happened to luck out and pick the right 5, the right 4 or 5 teams that are just basically always good. But I'm very thankful to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm thankful for Jerry Jones and his passion for the Cowboys. You know, he gets a big, you know, a big slice of humble pie every once in a while from fans around the league and people who think he's nuts and too involved. But, you know, I got a lot of guys this year saying, oh, he sucks as a GM. Well, that's kind of funny because he won executive of the year last year. So I don't know where you're coming from. So, but I'm very thankful.
Look, if I'm a multi-billionaire and I own an NFL team, I'm Jerry Jones. I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Who wants to be like an administrator that sits back and doesn't do anything? And then you're just a fan that has a lot of money. Like, Jerry Jones is like, if we're going to win, we're going to win partially because of me. And then I really have something to cheer for. Like, I'm one of the guys now.
It's not
I've
like,
always
you
been
know,
a Jerry Jones fan.
Right. Here's the thing about Jerry Jones, too. He knows football. Man, Jerry Jones, whether you know it or not, was an offensive lineman on an Arkansas team that won the national championship. This is not a guy who doesn't know anything about football and just decided, I'm going to be a football guy now. He knows football. But I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for the Jones family, for all the things. I'm thankful for that awesome stadium, which is like the best stadium in sports. It is so awesome. But yeah, I'm really thankful to be a Dallas Cowboys fan, and a lot of the reason has to do with what the Joneses have done with the team. They won 3 Super Bowls, folks. So not bad. I mean, Kraft got him by 1, so we got to come get him. But maybe not happen this year. But hey, we're not dead yet. So all right, so that was it. I hope your Thanksgiving goes great. I know I've got the turkey already defrosting in the fridge. We got a free turkey from Safeway out here. It was awesome. We spent, you know, if you spend this much money, you get a free turkey. This thing's 18 pounds. It's a monstrous turkey.
Turkey's
like, here you go. I'm like, you know, there's only 3 of us. You know, we're going to eat 18 pounds of turkey over a couple weeks, but we will. I'm going to make some turkey soup, or I found these like leftover turkey biscuit muffin things I'm going to make. It's going to be awesome. We'll probably still have turkey when you guys come out in April, though.
You're going to be in a 2-week tryptophan coma.
I'm going to have to call into work. I should take some paid time off just to like, recover from Thanksgiving. All right, so that's good. I hope all of you have a really great Thanksgiving, though. It's going to be a great day, as always. Thanksgiving's awesome. And you got a couple great games. We're not going to be on the air before then, so just to make sure that you know what's going on Thanksgiving, obviously you've got Detroit. Who does Detroit play this year? Because it's so irrelevant, I don't even know. I know the Cowboys are
this week's or this year's at 12:30, and then followed up by a huge Carolina at Dallas matchup, which is going to be a must-win for the Cowboys at 4:30, and then the late games, Chicago at Green Bay. So some nice, really nice matchups this year.
Yeah, it's really good. The NFL always does a great job with this with Thanksgiving. Obviously, as a Cowboys fan, it's just part of my tradition throughout my life is to watch the Cowboys, watch my favorite team play on Thanksgiving Day. It's just one of the great things about being a Cowboys fan is that you always know that your team's playing at 4:00 Eastern on Thanksgiving Day, and it's going to be great. The Cowboys are going to do, obviously they're going to kick off the Red Kettle campaign, which they always do, and I think they got their halftime performer this year, I think, is Luke Bryan, which is a big country guy. So it's going to be fun. Always a great show. Always a good time. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. When we come back, we're going to be joined by two of my favorite fellow writers. Tom Ryle and Rabble Rouser of Blogging the Boys are going to help us break down the Cowboys at Miami in the return of Tony Romo. That's coming up after the break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network.
Attention sports fans. FantasySportsWarehouse.com is more than your traditional fantasy sports website. They are the one-stop shop for all things sports. And now, the time to make their mark on daily fantasy gaming has come. Sign up at DFSWarehouse.com and deposit up to $600 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. Just want to check it out. They also offer free rolls to help hone your skills. You'll find plenty of great articles, podcasts, swag, and more, no matter who you root for. Whether you're a fantasy owner or a regular sports fan, it's the one-stop shop that's got you covered. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com or DFSWarehouse.com to find out why they are the first and only place you'll ever need to go to get your sports coverage and fantasy gaming fix.
Hey, NFL fans, be sure to join Alan Slaughterzinski, Brian Yates, and John Ames every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network for the NFL Standard. Every Sunday morning at 10 Eastern, Alan, John, and Brian will bring you up-to-the-minute fantasy football news and notes, injury reports, as well as all of the news from around the National Football League. Again, every Sunday morning at 10 right here on the Fantasy Sports Warehouse Radio Network, it's the NFL Standard. I can't miss for every NFL fan.
You live it, breathe it, dream about it. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into it. And this year, victory is yours. Because you've got FantasySportsWarehouse.com is your secret weapon. Fantasy Sports Warehouse is your one-stop shop for fantasy sports products, blogs, and the latest info. Go to FantasySportsWarehouse.com to get info to help you dominate the fantasy sports season wherever you go.
Do you play fantasy sports? Of course you do. But are you really getting the best out of your fantasy sports experience? Don't worry. We have the answer for you. MyFantasyCommish.com is the first ever third-party fantasy sports commissioner service, including a free social platform similar to Facebook and Twitter.
MFC creates and manages your league, including live or online drafts, scoring options, and league rules, using your website of choice. Tired of having to deal with the stress of setting up and running your fantasy sports league? One more time to enjoy managing your team instead of answering question upon question from other team owners? Our team of fantasy experts will help you customize your league to make sure that it is better than ever. Done are the days of fantasy commissioners who make rules without league approval. Many fantasy sports commissioners run around like a chicken with their head cut off trying to collect league fees from other players. MFC provides a finance package that makes the collection of league fees as simple as possible. Once the year is over, we confirm the winners of the league, and voila! The payment is immediately delivered to your PayPal account. Want to play in a hockey or basketball league but your buddies aren't interested? Left out of your boyfriend's fantasy league? Good thing you don't need them, because now you have MFC. MFC provides a social community for users to connect, communicate, and compete with players from all over the world. Don't listen to people brag or complain about their fantasy teams. Draft your own and be part of the action. My Fantasy Commish is completely free to sign up, and only $14 per team for the league management service. Hey, you're not Superman. Let MFC run your fantasy league and get back to enjoying fantasy sports like they were meant to be.
This is Assignment Football. That was a song from, I believe, the late 90s. Mark Morrison, One Hit Wonder, and Return of the Mac.
But you can't. It was a good hit, though.
It was a good hit. It was a big one. I bet you can't guess the significance of that song, Meg. Huh? Return of the Mac. I think we got Rabble Rouser on the line. Rabble, is that you or is that Tom Ryle?
It's me, buddy.
Oh, hey, there he is, the great Rabble Rouser. We're going to wait for Ryle. Ryle has trouble with the phone sometimes, I think.
Well, you know, he comes from an age before phones, so he struggles with that technology.
Well, he's worth the wait, I will tell you that much. Tommy Ryle is awesome, great stuff. So when he gets on, we'll get him right on. But it's good to hear from you, Rabble Rouser. Been a few weeks, been a few really, really painful weeks for those of us who write about the Dallas Cowboys on a regular basis. Not a lot. And, you know, it's funny because your good friend Michael Sizemore over there at Blogging the Boys, a really good young writer as well. He did the roundup this week, and I do a weekly column, just for those of you who don't know, for cover32.com, where I outline the five reasons why the Cowboys will win. Now, I am 0 for my last seven because the Cowboys are 0 for their last seven, and you know, he kind of, despite all that, you know, he kind of put it in there that I was, you know, maybe this week will be the week I'll be right. I'm like, God, I hope so. But we got
we
a really
all
good
hope
reason.
So, my friend.
We got a really good reason to be thankful and to be hopeful today, and that is the return of number 9. Talk about what Tony Romo is going to mean to this game, Rabble.
Well, you know, it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to be a real sloppy game. You know, I'm not sure how effective either team is going to be, you know, with all the sort of like aerial derring do. But I'll tell you what. In explaining what I think his meaning to the team is, I'll take you back to last Thanksgiving. Remember last Thanksgiving, he wasn't able to take his shot, and you know, he clearly wasn't in any kind of shape to play. And the other thing that was kind of amazing about that was that the entire team wasn't in any kind of shape to play. And in thinking about that, I pictured the locker room before the game. So imagine you're, let's say, J.J. Wilcox. J.J. Wilcox overran a bunch of plays because he was too aggressive, trying too hard. So imagine you're J.J. Wilcox and you're getting padded up, and you look over and you look at your quarterback and you realize your quarterback can't even stand. You're thinking to yourself, I have to play out of my mind today for us to have any chance to pull this out. And everybody else is thinking the same thing, right? We all have to compensate for our quarterback. So everybody begins to press a little bit. Everybody begins to over-pursue a little bit. Nobody's playing relaxed. Nobody's allowing their instincts to just dictate what they do. And so I think that one of the major things that no one's really talking about that Romo gives them when he returns is the fact that everyone else can just relax and do their job. People aren't trying to compensate for a bad quarterback, a turnover-prone quarterback, whatever. And I think that, you know, that's going to permeate, you know, let's say, you know, three or four plays into the game, he throws a pass and takes a hit after the pass, gets up, dusts himself off, everyone exhales, and they relax, and they can just play football. And I think that's going to help them a lot.
I think so, too. And it's kind of what you're saying. The great players make people better. You know, it's not because they can just, like, sit around and wait and watch for the guy, you know, say, oh, he'll do it all. But you understand that when you're playing with a guy like that, you don't have to do more than your job. You just have to do your job, and he'll take care of all the little ancillary things that can pop up during a game. So, and I know that Mike has a quarterback like that for his favorite team in New England. Mike, what are your questions for Mr. Rabble Rouser here?
Well, I guess the biggest question to me as somebody on the outside looking in is, do you think there's any chance that Dallas turns this around and makes the playoffs?
Well, I think there's a chance, you know. So the flip side of this is, I'll take you back to the Tennessee game last year. If you remember the opening of the season last year, Romo was still in some ways recovering from back surgery. He was not prepared for the speed of the game at all versus San Francisco in the first game. He admitted as much afterwards. His processor speed he was like an old, you know, an old Commodore 64 in an era of Max Snow Leopard. He just wasn't processing fast enough. And so in the Tennessee game, you know, he made some plays, but he was still a little stiff, a little awkward, you know, still wasn't on his game. It took him three or four games to get caught up. I think we're going to see a Romo that's not unlike that Tennessee game. Now, if you remember the Tennessee game, they won because they had a hellacious running game and DeMarco Murray had a huge game, et cetera. Defense played well.
Yep.
So this is a long way of answering. I think that he's going to come back, but he's not going to be in midseason form. This is a really tough stretch of games. I have a hard time imagining how the hell they're going to beat Carolina, because Carolina might be a better team straight up, even with a healthy Romo. They're really good, and they're very tough, very physical team. And then, you know, they have road games in Green Bay and Buffalo. It just seems like it's a really tough run. You know, now I'm wishing for, you know, games against Atlanta and New Orleans, because those games are winnable. I'm not sure they go 7-0. You know, I think a good run would be 5-2, and that's not going to do it, right? They're going to be 7-9. I don't think that's going to do it. So
they would have to have a lot of help.
I think they're a real long shot.
All right. Well, we are joined now by Tom Ryle as well. So let me get Tom in here. Tom, what's going on?
Hey, sorry, I was having a little trouble getting through on the phone there.
That's all right. We picked on you for it. It's okay.
I'm, you know, just hoping that this doesn't turn out to be a big, massive disappointment for Cowboys fans with Romo coming after an 8-week layoff. You've got a wet field. You've got Miami that's got a pretty fierce defense. You know, I think that this should be the game that everything turns around and they get things going, but let's go one game at a time and see how this turns out first before we start getting our hopes back up for the playoffs.
I don't disagree. And look, you know, worst case scenario for this team, I think they're going to end up with a top 10 draft pick where they can pick a nice defensive tackle or a really good running back. So that's your worst case scenario. But at this point in the season, you're absolutely right, Tom. You can't look at like, oh, okay, we need to win 7. You know what? You need to win one game. Let's get one game won here, and then we'll decide how it's going to go on Thanksgiving. And then if you win that game, then you can look forward to the Washington game, and you've just got to take it that way. And I know that's what Jason Garrett's preaching. So talk to me about Tom, why don't you talk to me about the Miami defense? You said they have a fierce defense. Talk to me about how it is that the Cowboys in these conditions are going to be able to, or are going to try, what they're going to try to do to get through that Miami defense and finally get into the end zone on a consistent basis.
Well, you know, first off, they've got to keep the rush off of Romo as best they can. You know, they can't afford for him to take a lot of hits. They want to protect him as much as possible. And then it's going to be a matter of trying to get everything opened up by going over the top with Romo, that should turn the running game loose a little bit, and it hopefully won't be that big a concern about whether McFadden's groin is really tweaked or not. But, you know, they've got to get the passing game clicking and show that they can get into the end zone. That's what has killed them in so many of the games. They just couldn't score. And so they've got to get some points up. They've got to attack. They've got to show that they've got a really good aerial threat. If they don't do that, then I don't know how they can get things solved.
Exactly. So, all right. Well, Mike, what's your next question? For either guy, it doesn't matter, I guess.
Well, I just sort of had an observation to make of the challenge that Dallas faces going forward is the fact that the Eagles and the Giants are probably their two biggest pieces of competition in their division, and they don't get a chance to play either of them going forward because they've already played the two games against each of them. Who do you think is the biggest benefactor of Romo's return on their offense? Is it actually the running game? Because to me, I think that might be what it opens up. I think McFadden and those guys might be the true benefactor here.
Yeah, Robert, why don't you take that one?
Okay, happily. To respond to your observation, Mike, I think you're absolutely right. My feeling has been if they could have substituted one or more of the Redskins games for the Giants and Eagles games that they just had during this stretch, they'd have a really good shot. So essentially what they need now is for the Redskins who have one game against each of those teams, to win both of those games so that they can try to beat the Redskins twice and kind of even things out. Those two games are really killers right now. So to your question, I think that the beneficiary is actually going to be, as you were saying, the running game. I think, but even the sort of underneath passing game, I think the threat of Romo to Dez is sufficient, and even the threat of Romo to Terrence Williams is sufficient to back people off enough so that Jason Witten and Cole Beasley and the running game and all that kind of stuff will just have a little bit more room to operate. It's basically since the middle of the first half of the Falcons game, other teams realized, oh, right, they're not going to go deep anymore. And right. So a lot of that underneath stuff that was working really well in the first half against Atlanta just hasn't been there in subsequent games. And I think when Romo gets back, it's going to be there again.
Yeah, and I think you saw a little bit of a return when Dez came back. But go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, one interesting thing I saw is that Jason Witten is really looking forward to the fact that they're predicting like 100% chance of rain by the second half. He thinks that the tight end game is much more important when you're on a wet field than the wide receivers, because the wide receivers can't do as much out there. But the tight end is not moving as fast. He's not trying to make the cuts. And so he thinks he's got a big role to play, you know, and this could be the game that he goes off and gets that 1,000 reception mark. So that's, I think, going to be a very important thing. The underneath passing game actually may be what feeds this because it is a weather problem today for them.
Yeah, that's for sure. And also, make no mistake, he wants to show his old teammate, Dan Campbell, what kind of tight end he's really become.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for breaking down the game with us. We've got a few minutes left here. We're going to go through our pick six. So I don't know how we're going to do this because we usually only have three, but we'll go all four. That's fine. We got enough time. All right. So here we go. Our first game that we're going to pick this week, a really awesome game with a really interesting subplot with the backup quarterback Brock Osweiler getting his first real regular season action at the Chicago Bears, who've kind of been a little bit of a surprise of late coming back with their young running back Jeremy Langford and the kind of resurgence of Jay Cutler. Tom, I'll let you go first. What do you think of that game, Denver at Chicago?
I've seen mixed things about what Osweiler's going to do. There's some people that think he's going to actually run the Gary Kubiak offense better than Peyton Manning was because, you know, Manning had to make a big adjustment to try and do that. I'm going to pick Chicago in this one. I'm just going to say that the guy coming in for his first start, I'm thinking it might take a little bit for him to get on track, but, you know, I may be big wrong on that.
Okay, rabble rouser.
Well, if you remember, you had me on actually before week one, and we did the same exercise then, and you also asked for a bold prediction. And my prediction, if you remember week one, Denver played Oakland, and my prediction was Denver's going to beat Oakland, but Oakland's going to finish ahead of Denver in the standings. And because I'm a stubborn man, I'm going to hold to that early prediction. And and if that's going to happen, this is going to have to be the time where Denver's going to start to fade. So I'm going to take Chicago also. Even though in many ways one can make an argument that inserting a replacement-level quarterback instead of Manning is actually an improvement because he's been playing at below replacement level, you know, for quite a while. But I'm going to join with Tom and go with Chicago largely just because I want one of my early season bowl predictions to come true.
Because that would be awesome. All right. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I guess we're going to give you an opportunity to pick a game up on us in the standings because I've got Chicago as well. For what it's worth, I do think that Osweiler ends up being an upgrade over zombie Peyton Manning. But it's more that I feel like Chicago is going in the right direction right now. And I really like Langford. I think Cutler's better than people give him credit for. I think he's a lot like Romo in that there's all these detractors of Cutler. And it's like, yeah, but who are they going to upgrade to? Cutler's their best option. And so I kind of like Cutler. And Chicago's defense has actually been sneaky good this year. They're like fourth against the pass, and they've been atrocious against the pass going back a couple years. So I think they give Osweiler some problems today, and I'm going to take Chicago at home.
Okay. And you're right. I am going to take Denver. I'm taking Denver on the strength of their defense alone. I do think Osweiler's got a chance here just because he does have some really nice weapons. I don't know if Emmanuel Sanders is playing or not, but even if he's not.
He's out.
Okay. You still have Demaryius Thomas. You still got some serviceable receivers, some serviceable running backs, but you've got an excellent defense that does not have to account for Alshon Jeffrey. So I'll take Denver. Our next game, New York Jets. Slip of the tongue. At the Houston Texans. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm going to go with Houston on this one. I don't know a whole lot about, you know, how either team is, but Houston seems to finally have gotten their act together and have a little bit of something going on. And just right this year, weird things are happening. So I'm just going to pick Houston to take this one.
Doesn't surprise me. Go ahead, Rabble.
Well, in the last two pick'ems that we've had, the weekly pick'ems we've had among the front page writers on Blogging the Boys, I've fallen from first place after getting 5 right 1 week and then thinking, that must be an all-time low, and then following that up with 3 right. So
awesome.
I'm clearly in the middle of a malaise, as they say. you know what? I'm going to go with the Jets. I have no reason other than the fact that my picks suck to go with them.
Okay. I'm with it. There you go. New York Jets. J-E-T-S. Suck, suck, suck. Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, that wasn't didn't make me feel very good about my pick, I guess, because I'm going with the Jets, too. bottom line, I think both defenses are really good. They're both, like, top quarter of the league in defense. They're both really good against the run. I think the Jets just have more talent on offense. So when I'm comparing the two rosters, I just think the Jets have a little more on the offensive side of the ball. And I do not trust Houston's, you know, third string quarterback here to do much. So, you know, he's had a couple of games where he's eked by on the strength of that defense, but I just think the Jets win it with the better offense.
So you're saying they're not going to start Brandon Weeden today? Then why'd they pick him up? I'm just kidding. I'm going to take Houston as well. I like Houston, and me and Tom are on the same page here. It's at home. I like them at home. T.J. Yates, I understand your misgivings about him, but I like their defense. I like the Jets' defense. I think it's going to be a pretty defensive struggle, but I definitely think Houston will come out on top. Tampa Bay, the upstart Tampa Bay Bucks, 4-5 at the Philadelphia Eagles. Tom Ryle, boy, do we need Tampa in this one.
Yeah, we do, but I don't think they can win this one. I mean, you know, the Cowboys were absolutely impotent offensively against them. And I don't think Philadelphia's going to be that bad. I want Tampa Bay to win so badly, but I'm afraid we're going to be disappointed in that. I've got to go with the Eagles to take this one.
Okay. Rabble Rouser.
You know, I agree with Tom wholeheartedly. I would like nothing better than to see a Buccaneers victory, especially after, you know, after last week's humiliation. And I do recognize that Tampa Bay is getting better. I think Jameis Winston's improving by leaps and bounds. They have some really interesting offensive pieces. But it's tough to go on the road. It's tough to win two in a row in this league when you're still a young team finding your feet. I don't think that Philadelphia is going to, you know, it's necessarily a better team. I just think that they're both average teams, and since one lost last week and the other one won, let's go with the opposite this week and take Philadelphia.
Okay, I mean, sound reasoning as any. Mike, your take on this game.
You know who I'm not going to pick? Mark Sanchez. I'll take Tampa
All
Bay.
Right.
Vegas somehow thinks Philly is a 7-point favorite. They like Mark Sanchez a lot better than I do. I remember the butt fumble with joy.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yes, Tampa
you do. Sanchez is coached by Chip Kelly. He can make anybody work.
He is the smartest guy in the world, so that could happen. Tampa Bay, I'm going to take Tampa Bay as well because, gosh darn it, I need him. I need him so bad. Please beat Philly, please. And, again, I don't trust Sanchez either. I don't know that he's a huge downgrade from Sam Bradford. That tells you more about Sam Bradford than it does about Mark Sanchez. How's that? So I'm going to take Tampa Bay. I need that win. All right, here's another big matchup. This is huge. And Mike and I don't, Rebel, you might have been on with us when we did this. We talked a little bit about them, too. The Minnesota Vikings are hosting Green Bay today. We have been banging the Vikings drum since preseason week one. Tell me, Tom Ryle, Green Bay at Minnesota, who wins today?
I just think Minnesota's headed in a good direction, and some weird things are happening with the Packers. I don't really know what their problem is, but they're not doing well right now. And I think Minnesota's a team on the rise. I think they're going to wind up winning the North. That's just how I see this one.
Okay. And Rabble.
You know, this is the toughest game this week to predict for all the reasons that Tom just enumerated. Green Bay has been struggling, and Minnesota does seem like they've really found their groove. You know, North Turner is a terrific offensive coordinator. He's a great guy to develop a quarterback, as any and all Dallas fans know. Yeah. And you can see Bridgewater kind of getting it, and obviously he's got his Haas to rely on. That said, I think this is one of those games where Aaron Rodgers, who's going to be the best player on the field, regardless of whether his shoulder is gimpy or not, is going to elevate his team because he has to. I mean, this is as close to a must-win as Green Bay's had in quite some time, other than a playoff game. And I think that, you know, this is the time where a great player takes a team on his back and ekes out some kind of victory that's improbable but somehow manages to do it. I'll take the Packers.
Okay, Mike.
I'm on that sort of same nebulous, I don't know why I like this, but that's what I'm picking too. I like the Packers as well. My general feelings in the NFL are the better coach and the better quarterback win, coach and quarterback combination being the most important thing you can put out there. And Green Bay's had that for a long time, and I don't think they're quite ready to give up the crown in that division yet. So I think maybe Green Bay finds a way to put it together this week. So I'm going to pick Green Bay too.
And you might be right. They may not be ready to give it up, but I think the Minnesota Vikings are ready to snatch it from them and take it away from them. They have a better running game. They have a very serviceable passing game. They have probably a better defense, and they are at home in Minnesota. I'm going to take the Vikings today just because I think this year they are going to win this division. I know a couple of weeks ago we repicked the playoffs, and we both picked them to win the wild card. That was before Green Bay went on a three-game dive. It's going to end up being four games at the end of the day. Minnesota Vikings win this game at home. Cincinnati at Arizona. This is a huge game with two awesome teams, but Cincinnati kind of took a step back last week. They didn't look very good against Houston in losing at home on Monday night to the Texans. Tom Ryle, what do you think? Cincinnati, so it's the Red Rifle at Big Red. Who do you got?
Or the Red Rider BB gun, maybe?
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to go with Carson Palmer in this one.
Okay.
You know, Arizona seems to have something going on. don't know how real Cincinnati's been. I mean, maybe they are, but I just think that Arizona's got the better team. They're playing at home. I really like their chances in this game.
Okay, Rebel.
Yeah, I think I agree. I mean, if you look at point differential and the way that translates into wins, the only team that compares to the Patriots this year are the Cardinals. They've been dominant in many, many games. They're tough at home. I have a hard time picking against them. I know they've lost two games, but I think we can look back at the season and actually look at that Pittsburgh-Arizona game as probably the weirdest, flukiest, and maybe even biggest upset of the year. The Cardinals are for real. They really are. And I think, you know, if they're at home, I'm taking them.
Okay. Mike?
I'll take the Cardinals too, but I will say the point differential thing is a little bit of a non-issue, only because Cincinnati's third in that category in the NFL. So they're right there behind them, and they've only given up 152 points Cincinnati in 9 games. So it translates to about 17 a game. So their defense is pretty spectacular. Arizona's defense also spectacular. I think we get a low scoring battle, but I just like Arizona's offensive talent, and I think they find a way to pull it off.
I'm going to go the opposite way as the rest of you guys. I'm going to take the Bengals. I think they have a bounce back game. I like this team. I think they're pretty good. I just think they had one of those games on Monday night, and I think they get the bounce back here. The defense, I really like their defense a lot. I think they have they have a very good offense. Okay, their offensive line is among the best in the league. Dalton's a better than serviceable quarterback. They've got good wide receivers. They can get the running game going again, although I don't know that this is the team to do it against, but I think the Cincinnati Bengals somehow find a way to win today. All right, and our featured game of the week, Dallas Cowboys and the return of Tony Romo at Miami. Tom Ryle, who do you have?
Well, after 7 losses in a row, I can't change predicting for Dallas to win. Dallas needs this game so badly, and I really think this is the game where they kind of get their moxie back and start, you know, something going. I have serious doubts about them making the run to get to the playoffs, but I think they can get back on the winning track and start regaining some confidence in themselves, and I just think it's going to happen. Or maybe I should say I sincerely hope it's going to happen. So I'm taking Dallas.
All right, Rabble, who do you have?
Well, you know, I'm going to take the Cowboys. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think it's going to be comfortable. I think it's going to be probably an ugly, ugly game. It's going to be – it could be one of those sort of like 18-16 games where they sort of slop down at the end. You know, a couple Cole Beasley passes and get a Dan Bailey field goal. But I think that they're going to – I think Romo's the guy who I would like to have the ball in his hands at the end, who can get a sloppy drive for a game-winning field goal in an ugly, ugly game.
Yep, I like it too. Okay, go ahead, Mike.
You guys are going to hate me. I'm going the other way.
I hate you.
I figured that was the case. I just think that Romo is going to come out rusty, and he's 8 weeks away from the game. And it's a situation where the team's desperate and they don't have a quarterback other than Romo. And I feel like he's rushing himself back to get in here. And he's going to come out wearing a Kevlar vest, and it's going to just be a rough game. And on top of Romo's return, they've lost 7 games in a row. And sometimes you just are finding ways to lose games. And if you look at the last 3 games, they lost a game by 1 point. They lost a game in overtime, and they lost a heartbreaking game to Tampa Bay. And it just can start to eat at your psyche, I think. And you get to a point where you find ways to lose instead of finding ways to win. And I think that might be what happens with Dallas this week. So I'm going Miami.
All right. Well, I'm going to go the other way with Dallas. Here's the thing. You take out the New England game, they've lost the other 6 games by less than 6 points average. Tony Romo makes that up. He makes it up today. Dallas wins in a kind of close one because of the weather. I'm going to give him a 3-point win. And again, I agree with Rabble on that one. It's going to be a Dan Bailey field goal at the end on a drive led by Tony Romo to win the game. Okay, thanks, everybody. We got about 40 seconds left. I want to say make sure to follow at Tom Ryle BTB, at Rabble Rouser, at Mike Mastrolio, at Mastrolio123, at Duckman for real, at a assignment F ball. Guys, anything else you want to plug before you go? Tom?
Go Cowboys.
All right. Rabble, what do you got coming up?
Well, we're going to have you on a podcast. We'll talk to you tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're recording the podcast tonight. We'll be on the Blogging the Boys podcast. That gets released later in the week. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It should go Tuesday, midweek, short week podcast.
That sounds great, and I look forward to talking to you guys. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening to Assignment Football, and we hope to see you again here next week. Have a great week, everybody. Mike, have a good one.